This morning, our worship is going to be to YouTube and to the beginnings of our inner church worship band. That's because Janet, as you know, last week was positive for COVID. So when I knew that, I texted her and said, based on the time I had, I don't think you'll be clear by this Sunday, so I'll plan it around that. And also, if she was clear, she then hadn't got to worry about rushing around trying to get straight back into things. So that's what we're doing. So all the words will come up on the screen, and I caused all sorts of confusion because I've chosen songs that apparently we haven't got the words, we haven't got the right books for the words. And, so, but you know what I'm like, I always cause trouble, don't I? I like to keep you on your toes. Right, we're going to start off this morning with saying the Lord's Prayer together. So I'd like you all to stand up and we'll say the Lord's Prayer together at the beginning of the service. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the power, the kingdom, are yours, now and forever. Amen. Read the words, don't do what I'm doing. Please take your seats for a second. I thought I would do that at the beginning of the service this morning because I felt it's really good to come into God's presence and start by asking him for forgiveness, by getting our hearts right before him. So that's the reason I put that at the very beginning this morning. Our hymn this morning, our first hymn, there's no point in me giving you song numbers because this one is in, I've got all the wrong numbers down. So it's All Glory, Lord and Honour. And it's coming up on the screen. If we feel free to stand or sit, however you wish to sit, feel free to stand or to sit. But we're going to sing together, All Glory, Lord, and Honour.
Thank you.
please take your seats. Our first reading this morning is from the book of Philippians. Paul writes these words. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And for his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved all these things, or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I think when Paul writes, he writes sometimes it's quite complicated. It doesn't help when you're very focused and you lose your place on the page. But I think often I've read Paul's letters and I've thought, what? I've got to go back and read that again, you know. But what he writes is really encouraging to us. And I just want to spend a few minutes just to think about this. I once thought these things were valuable, says Paul, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. I wonder what value we put on the things in our lives. In life, we put a value on everything we see, and everything we touch and we desire or own. That value may be a monetary value. It might be how much time we give it, or how much pleasure we receive from it. And it's these values that create the importance of something in our lives. And during our life, that value may ebb as things get older, but it may increase. Or it may completely disappear as something gets updated, whatever that item is, a new model, a better product, etc., etc. Think about the things you have in your life. What hold do those things have on you? And how important are they to you? For some people, it's important to have the latest iPhone or the latest phone, latest EarPods, or some people, it's the biggest flat screen TV or the biggest latest car or the biggest house with 5 bedrooms and 13 bathrooms and whatever it is that they put out nowadays. But Paul declares that everything that he has or has gained in his life is nothing compared to knowing Jesus. Jesus has taken the place of highest honor in Paul's life to the point that Paul regards everything else as rubbish, as a loss in comparison to having Jesus in his life. Where are you on that scale? Where am I on that scale? Is Jesus the most important thing in our life? Is he the first thought of each day? Is he the last thought at each night? Do you consider what he might require of you before you make a decision? Jesus gave his life for us. He gives us life in himself, but it cost his all. So what value do we put on him? We're going to sing together, Ruth and Steve, the beginnings of our inner church worship band. They're going to come and lead us in a song from, I think this is from the 1970s. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Do we know this one? Do we all know this one? Yeah. So they're going to lead us on their guitars. And we're going to sing it through a few times because it's only about four lines long. But join us as we sing, Lord, you are more precious than silver. Think about the words on the basis of what we've just read from what Paul wrote. How precious is Jesus to us? Yeah, I forgot to warn you that during the service there'll be little bits of furniture rearrangement going on. Now feel free either to stand or sit, whichever you feel you wish to do with this song.
Just doing the go for the chorus first, but the main bit first, and then we'll go. Then we'll sing.
Just think about those words.
Father, you are more precious than silver. You are more costly than gold. You are more beautiful than diamonds. And may we really mean it when we say, and nothing I desire compares to you. Amen. We are going now. Did I put in? Not yet. Not the offering prayer yet. Did I put it in there? Was it a bit in a little while?
Yeah.
It's now. I forgot to put it on my order of service. So right, okay. So the offering plates are
at the back and at the front. Feel free during the service or after the service to put any offerings and gifts that you want to put in the plates. But let's just thank God for the ability to be able to give back to his work. Father, we thank you for everything you have given us, and we don't want to hold anything back from you. So in all that you have given us, we offer to you and give back to you the little bit that we give this morning. We pray that you would take the offering and take it like a farmer sowing seed, that you would cause it to germinate and to grow and to increase, that we may complete your work here in this area and in this church. Thank you for all you've given us. Please accept what we give back. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to sing together, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the
were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Bernadette's going to come join me up on the stage here, and she's going to read our second reading, which is from John chapter 12.
John chapter 12, 1 to 8. Six days before the Passover, Jesus went to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from death. They prepared a dinner for him there, which Martha helped serve. Lazarus was one of those who were sitting at the table with Jesus. Then Mary took a whole pint of very expensive perfume made of pure nard, poured it on Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The whole sweet smell of the perfume filled the whole house. One of Jesus' disciples, Judas Iscariot, the one who was going to betray him, said, "Why wasn't the perfume sold for 300 silver coins and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He carried the money back and would help himself from it. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her keep what she has for the day of my burial. You will always have poor people with you, but you will not always have me."
You're right. You're okay. Yeah. Thank you, Bernadette, for reading that. Let's just pray. Father, as we come before your word, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds as we hear from you. Plant seed that may grow and produce a crop, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus is sitting with a group of friends having dinner. Just an everyday thing, just doing something normal. He's relaxing after what I assume for Jesus was probably had been a very tiring day. I don't think Jesus ever really had non-tiring days. Everywhere he went, he was surrounded by crowds and people following him. So I wonder what the conversation around the table was like. I mean, Lazarus was there for a start. I bet there were loads of questions directed at Lazarus. But Jesus sits and relaxes. Maybe he's trying to stay sort of out of the eye line towards the back so he can gather himself. But then suddenly, out of the blue, Mary comes in with a very expensive bottle of perfume. She pours it over Jesus' feet. She massages them, and then she wipes them with her hair. Not an action that she did in secret. It's not something that was done discreetly. The odor of this perfume, it says, filled the room. Everybody was aware of what had happened. And Mary is subjecting herself to ridicule because she's putting herself in the place of the lowest servant. It's the lowest servant's job to do the foot washing when people come in. But Mary's love and admiration for Jesus overcame her pride or overcame her feelings so that she didn't mind, didn't care who knew what she was doing. She wanted to give Jesus the most precious thing that she had, this bottle of perfume. I don't want to focus on Mary, the disciples, or even Judas. I want to focus upon her actions. What does it cost her to pour this anointing oil on Jesus. Like I said, she became like the lowest of the low, like a servant washing feet. She pours an expensive perfume on Jesus. And maybe she feels that she's actually got nothing else to offer. It might be that this was being kept for a special occasion, but actually this was more important. And she pours not only some of the ointment on his feet. She doesn't just pour a bit and keep some. She pours the whole bottle of ointment. This was a costly action. She withholds nothing. And then she wipes his feet with her hair. She doesn't even go and get a towel. She puts her head down to Jesus' feet and wipes his feet with her hair. Hair in the scriptures is the crowning of a woman. It's really important. If you read through the scriptures, hair on a woman is important. And she debases herself enough to use it as a towel. Mary, she's giving Jesus all she has. And like Paul might be saying, she might be saying, in comparison to everything I have, this is nothing, and I freely give it to you. When was the last time we were challenged to give up something that we really value for Jesus? When was the last time we felt that way about Jesus? And I think more and more the world around us tries to make our faith seem like it's not important anymore, tries to cause us to doubt what the Bible teaches, to water it down to our understanding so that we can explain it. Tries to tell us that the stories of the Bible are being categorized into the same league as fairy tales or nice, good moral stories for us to learn lessons from, rather than actual records of miracles and power that God has worked throughout history. Miracles and healings and raising from the dead, all by an all-powerful God. When was the last time you or I felt that way about God? So easy, isn't it, to just tuck him away in the background. Maybe get up in the morning, say a quick prayer, Lord, help me through today. And at the end of the night, sorry for the things I've done wrong. And then not to include him in anything else in your daily life. So easy to do that. Are we willing to give up our most treasured possession to him? To become a servant, because being near him is more than we can cope with. Many years ago, I say many years ago, not that many years ago, really, probably about 15 or so years ago, we were challenged by a similar message in our church when we used to meet down at the Pastors Community Centre as New Pastors Church. And a teacher came in, or a preacher came in, and was talking about giving things to God. And I remember him challenging us and saying, so what is God asking you to give up today? And somebody in the church came up to me afterwards and said, God's just told me to give you our car. Now, I didn't need a car, but the guy who was preaching needed a car, and the guy who was giving the car didn't know that. But he came to me and said, I'd like to give you this car because I think God needs to give it to somebody. So I approached the guy who'd done the teaching. I said, that's someone's come and given you a car. What would you do this morning if God said to you, you know, you've driven here today in your car, I'd like you to give it to someone. I'd like to give it to that person over there who's got a need. What would your reaction be? Don't answer. I don't need a car, by the way. I'm not. Right? If you've got some spare cash, that's different. What would you do if God said to you, you know that lovely special perfume that you like to wear, that your husband bought you, or that lovely special aftershave that you like, that your wife bought you, that's really expensive, that you wear on special occasions, I'd like you to give that to somebody for me. I'd like you to bless that person for me. When was the last time we felt that way about God, willing to give up our most treasured possessions to become a servant because being near him is more than we can cope with? Are we willing to kneel at his feet and to worship him in a world that says we should stand tall and subdue those around us? We should be looking after number one and show off our power and our wealth by the size of our house, our car, the quality of the clothes that we wear. But Jesus stood up and defended Mary when he was challenged. He defended her from the criticisms and the actions, and he declared how important this simple action was. And do you know what? If we stand up for him, he will do the same for us today. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 to 33 are Jesus' words. Those who declare publicly that they belong to me, I will do the same for them before my Father in heaven. But those who reject me publicly, I will reject before my Father in heaven. Here, today, in this building, we have to face the challenge to serve Jesus at all costs, and possibly at the cost of all that we have. Nothing is to be more important to us than him and his work. And if we stand up for him, he will stand up for us. Think about those words. Steve and Ruth are going to come and lead us again in the song, Bless the Lord, O My Soul, 10,000 Reasons. They've practiced together, or they've practiced separately during the week and together this morning. When I went upstairs, they sounded pretty good to me. So encourage them and join them in singing this song.
Once again, we'll play through the chorus once and then we'll stop.
So to anger, your sing your praise. Unending.
10,000
years and then
very much for playing. We are going to be led now in our prayers of intercession by Stephanie.
Let us pray. Lord, we come to you to pray, knowing that you are more precious than silver. And without you, we are worthless. We, as the body of Christ, give you all the praise, honor, and love. For Lord, you are the most important thing in our life. Lord, open our hearts to be transformed by the new things that you are doing, so that our lives may proclaim the extravagance of your love for all. May we reflect your honor and glory in following you and live our lives simply. As a congregation, we pray for your guidance and support. As like Paul, we press forward into the future to serve families and children in our congregation, to offer a helping hand not only here, but also in the community, like Mary was willing to give up her treasures, to support other chapels that are struggling, food banks that need our support, and those that need your love, Lord. May we also take this time to thank God for new people in our congregation, and also for those who work and attend our churches, for those who pray for us, and those who minister to us, and others. We also pray with thanks for the Reverend Romeo Pedro, for his ministry as he continues to serve us until he moves on. For Northampton Street pastors and their patrols this month, and the work that Churches Together Northampton does. We have so much to be thankful for, Lord, and we need to let your light shine. We pray also for missionaries that serve abroad, especially this moment in Ukraine. I know this is on your hearts as well. We pray for people, both in Ukraine and in Russia. How heartbroken the people must feel. In UK this week, just before it snowed, the sky went very dark, and I could not help comparing that darkness with what people of Ukraine must have felt and still feel during the attacks on their country. Please, God, bring your influence on Putin's regime for peace and give the people of Ukraine strength and also those in Russia to understand what is going on. We now, Lord, bring our prayers to ourselves here today. We know what's in our hearts at the moment, or even what we need ourselves as we have listened to the service. We may this week and today felt grief or sorrow, worry, anxiety, or even be suffering in pain and have upset hearts. Others may have felt great news, elation, happiness, reasons to be near and close to God and filled with thanks. Each person has had a different week, a different day, and a different moment. So let us now pause here in silent prayer to reflect on what is most has touched our hearts and minds, either in this service today or during this week. Let us just have a silence. Lord, we take all these prayers and we place them into your hands. Lord, may we never forget the value of following you and how precious you are. Be close to us, each one of us, Lord, and give us strength to reach that goal. For Lord, you are our bright light, our spark, the light that shines always within us. Amen. Thanks to God.
And we will join together singing our final hymn, which is Shine, Jesus, Shine. So if we can just stand, this one is going to come via YouTube.
Jesus, light of the world, set us free by the truth and bring us shine. Shine on me.
Father, that is our prayer, that you would shine in this land. Lord, not that just you would shine, that as representatives and as your family, that we would shine, that we would take your light into the world, and that we would share it and live it amongst those around us. Help us, Lord, to examine ourselves, and help us to examine our attitudes to the things that we have in comparison to our attitude to you. Challenge us where we need challenging. And as we go into this week, may we be a blessing to those we meet. May we be a blessing to our families. And may we carry you into each and every circumstance. In Jesus' name, amen. And together we'll say the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. God bless you and have a good week.
All the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.
Ooh.